From the Hammett Point Studios in Lima, South Carolina, this is the All 7 Days Podcast, where we take your questions and answer them from the perspective of a couple of church members just having conversation about spiritual matters, where the Bible gets to define truth in our minds and perspectives get to conform to that truth. You can send your question in at ask@all7days.com, 864-660-9473 for a voicemail or text. Join the All 7 Days Hangout on Facebook and listen on all your favorite podcasting apps. Get mugs and t-shirts, all7days.com/shop, or support the podcast at anchor.fm/all7days. Thanks for listening today, everyone. That's our show. Tune in again next week. No, just kidding. We do have something to talk about today, and it's Trevor's fault.
Well, thanks a lot, Trevor.
Hey, I'm used to ruining things. So.
And you can probably hear also that we decided that we needed some additional help answering this question.
I don't know what for, but okay.
Well, I mean, you know.
I am also really good at ruining things.
That's exactly what we wanted, ruining today.
Okay.
That's
well,
what
I
we're
can,
talking
I can
about.
Help with that.
We're talking about, yes.
I often tell people that one of my greatest talents is getting in the way.
Okay.
So
I would say you're very talented at that.
Yeah.
By the way, that voice is Cody, my firstborn.
Yes. I actually can't confirm this. I just have to take other people's word for it.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, it's,
I have to take my own word for it too.
I had a conversation the other day about like journalistic integrity and stuff, and when I was in college taking journalism classes, you know, they said if you're writing a story about your own family and your mom tells you that she loves you, you have to get it verified by at least two other sources.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
which actually goes right along with biblical law of establishing a charge on two or three witnesses.
Yeah, but if the message is to you,
yep,
and you hear it firsthand,
mm-hmm,
you still have to get it verified?
Yes.
That someone, that she said it or that it's true?
Well, that it's true.
Well, how do they know it's true?
Because they can witness things, obviously.
Okay.
So you could go, you know, if it's your mom, then you could go to your dad or a sibling or a grandparent. Like, it doesn't have to, like, you don't have to go to, like, the
does
neighbors
my
across.
My mom really love me.
Yeah.
She says it.
And then it just sounds like a whiny MySpace blog.
I know. What do you think, Trevor? Do you need...
It's going to be truth. Tough to prove if it's true, because it depends on the day, usually, with your kids. Like, some days you love them, some days you don't.
So true. So true. Yeah. It's like the old Cosby line, you know. I'll brought you into this world, I'll take you out and make another one look just like you.
Yeah.
Can we use Cosby jokes anymore?
No.
I just did.
I almost did just now, and you'd have to edit it out.
Oh. okay. We'll move on.
Yeah.
Well, good to have you, Cody. Trevor, good to
Glad
see
to
you.
Glad to be here.
Anything going on in the life of Trevor?
Just surviving.
All right. Well,
just surviving.
As long as you got a pulse, we're doing okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll come back and answer the question from one Trevor Montgomery. This is the All 7 Days Podcast. This episode of the All 7 Days Podcast has been sponsored by Sunrise Apparel and Gifts. Sunrise Apparel and Gifts does custom sublimated graphic printing on shirts, hats, mugs, cups, you name it. If you have an idea for any occasion, they are your one-stop shop to make it a reality. Sunrise Apparel and Gifts is also one of the only distributors of Mia Bella Gourmet all-natural candles. Mia Bella is proud to be manufactured right here in the USA and come in a variety of scents. In fact, I have an insect repellent Mia Bella candle on my patio that we bought from Sunrise Apparel and Gifts, and it works great. For more information for other products they offer, look for Sunrise Apparel and Gifts on Facebook or give my friend Chuck a call at 662-212-2543. free local pickup, or nationwide shipping is available. Sunrise Apparel and Gifts, the official clothing partner of All 7 Days.
Welcome back to the All 7 Days podcast. Dan, Trevor, Cody here to answer a question. Trevor apparently had been listening to some worship music. Do you want to just ask the question yourself, Trevor?
I guess.
I mean, yeah. You're right here. And by right here, I mean I can see you through a computer screen.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm right beside you guys. So my question, it kind of just popped into my head on my way to work. And I usually text Stan random times with random questions.
Do you know that I'm just going to turn it into a podcast episode.
That's kind of why I text you, just to, you know, is this a worthy enough question?
Yeah.
I'm sure you can tell if he ignores you long enough, then he's just going to turn it into an episode instead of actually answering the question on the spot.
Well, usually the first response is, oh, this would make a great episode.
And then I was like, ugh. So basically, I've heard people at churches, and in songs talk about God making a move in their life. And so my question is, does God really need to move since he has already kind of planned? Everybody's got a plan in their life and he's already set it. So is it all part of his plan? Does he have to move if he already knows what's going to happen? And I know I kind of summarized it in a different way.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So it's kind of looking at providence versus getting God to do something different than what's currently happening in your life, possibly. Right. Did I phrase that?
Well, because we don't know what God's plan is, right? And so we feel like God has to do something to get us somewhere other than where we're at.
When I hear a song like that, and I asked you for specific examples, and you sent me two or three songs. Yeah. One being, when I looked up some of these lyrics, I was just dumbfounded.
Bless their hearts.
Okay.
Of course.
Yes.
So now that we've said that, we can say anything we want to about them, and it's okay.
Well, yeah, because we're in the South.
Yes.
So if you're listening up north, maybe you need to, I don't know what you need to do.
Well,
but
if you're in the North, you just say whatever you want.
Oh, that's true. You don't have to bless their heart.
That's for my life.
So here's one of the, I think this is the chorus of one of the songs you sent me. And this must have taken all of a month to write the lyrics for this. I'm sorry, Brandon Lake. If you're listening, I would love to talk to you.
I'm not sorry.
This song is called This Is a Move. And here are the words to the chorus. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. And then he got real creative. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. Cause we need a move. We need a move. All right, so let's just delve into the rich theology of this song. I'm blown away.
I'm excited.
Plumbing the depth.
So this, okay. We have too many songs to look at here to go. Piecing these apart, but this one's not going to.
Copied and pasted like entireties of songs.
Well,
too.
I did, but see,
can you sing them from now on?
I don't even. I've never heard this song, and I'm kind of glad. So here's the punchline of this chorus, right? We need a move.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we?
Yeah.
Do we really need a move, or do we need the mover?
Well, I think, well, yes.
Thank you.
I think this is when defining terms is helpful.
Yeah, but
and the problem is,
you can't define this
within these circles. They don't really define that, and then as soon as you ask what you mean by that, then they tell you have a religious spirit.
Yeah,
or
I guess. Yeah,
of the sort.
And you know what? So this song is pretty well representative of the other songs that I've got on here, right? I mean, I don't know that we need to go through move from Jesus culture, God who moves the mountains from Corey Voss. And some of these actually have some of the lines that are pretty good. Some of the verses are, I can say amen to them.
Sure.
And then I found that this Won't Stop Now from Elevation, which has been out for quite a long time, where they talk about breakthroughs coming and by faith I see a miracle. God made me a promise and it won't stop now.
I think to really get underneath the question, so in songs, and you hear people say that God's going to make a move in their life or something of the sort.
Yeah.
What I'm a big fan of is getting down to the foundation as quickly as possible.
Yep.
And then going up from there.
Yep.
So what we see here is, so,
and the reason I brought Cody in on this discussion is he's much more in the worship ministry realm, though he's a metalhead.
You can hear more about this in the Westminster Effects Doxology
exactly.
podcast.
So Cody does the Westminster Effects Doxology podcast. They talk about this kind of stuff all the time.
Right. And so what you see in so many of the songs that are written right now is generally, I'm broad brushing some, but generally they're written by more charismatic and Pentecostal rooted groups.
Word of faith.
Right. Yep. So, right. So there's a spectrum, I think, unlike gender, but much like autism. I'm not equating Pentecostalism with autism, just for the record.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just making a correlation. There is a spectrum of more orthodox, more biblically grounded Pentecostals and charismatics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think of guys like, even with my disagreements with them, but guys like Dr. Michael Brown, who's really good friends with James White, for instance. And they've done debates against each other and with each other.
Right.
So that's cool to see, I think. And I completely disagree with him on some things and obviously really, really, really agree with him on others. So you have that end of the Pentecostal charismatic spectrum. And then on the other end, since they're right here on the sheet, you have Jesus culture, where I would call that more of a hyper-charismatic or Word of Faith or New Apostolic Reformation, where they delve into heretical things pretty frequently. And that I would include Brandon Lake in that. I would include Elevation on the... They're trending that way, right? Especially with Furtick hanging out with the likes of T.D. Jakes, who's with his doctrine of God, he is a heretic, just straight up.
He's a modalist.
I'm not familiar. I've heard the name of Corey Voss, but I'm not familiar with him, so I can't speak to him. But all that to say, what you generally have is this is very Pentecostal language.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or indifferent, right? And so then it's, all right, now let's define the term of what a move is. And I think what they often mean by that is they want Acts 2 to happen again.
Yeah.
With the falling of the Holy Spirit, or the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, rather.
Right.
And people speaking in tongues, however we define that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to define that a little different than we will.
I think they would prefer to define it a little different than we would, in that it's hard to prove that it's real.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. But what you're going to see is they want something enormous, right?
Yeah, a big... personally, coming from this background.
Mm-hmm. Funny enough, this actually isn't something that we have talked about very much.
No, it actually isn't. Coming from this background, so I can remember growing up in a Pentecostal church, okay? The Sunday morning service was more teaching, but it had a, normally there would be a, for lack of a better term, a cliffhanger at the end of the service that would prompt you to come back to Sunday night, and Sunday night is when it really got wiped up,
okay, yeah.
Right? You know, wound up. So there would be more because, you know, people had to go to lunch.
Right.
And you go get lunch.
You can't work up a sweat before lunch.
No. So
unless you do CrossFit like Trevor.
That's true. You come back on Sunday night, and then that's when the quote-unquote spirit would fall, and people would get touches and speak in tongues and run aisles and jump pews and that kind of thing. Yeah, I've been there.
Right.
But it was an emotional there were emotional triggers that would cause these responses, and that's what these songs are geared to do.
Right.
The way the music builds, the way they repeat, the way they get bigger and bigger and bigger, to drive that emotional response. Mm-hmm. Now,
and a lot of them last, not just forever, but like five ever.
Yes.
Maybe even six ever.
That's true.
Elevation just put out a song, and I saw it lasts 14 minutes or something.
Yeah, no doubt. Probably because they're bridge chorusing
over
six
and over
to seven
yeah.
times,
yeah.
right? And because in that live version, it was working. Therefore,
right.
they keep looping it, right?
Right.
They don't want to cut that off or quench the spirit, right?
Right.
So if a song like that is having that effect, they will keep repeating it until mm-hmm. until everybody's exhausted, which
yep.
basically is what happens. So what I found is in maturing in my faith that these songs are meant to drive emotion. But what I found maturing in my faith is the more that I know about God and the more I understand about God, and when I sing those truths drive emotion.
Yep.
Which I think is where it's supposed to come from. But just repeating lines, "We're here for you, come do what you do, because we need a move," that tells me nothing about God.
Right.
But it's more about what I need God to do. I'm trying to gin up something for God to do for me rather than responding to who he is and what he's already done.
Right. So I think one of the things that I've been stewing on a lot recently is thanks to a podcast called the Theology Pugcast, like pug as in dog.
Mm-hmm.
They used to record it at a pub called the Corner Pug,
nice.
Which is how they got the name. Now they all live in different places and whatnot, but they're really nerdy, and they talk like Christian philosophy, and they cite a lot of medieval theologians and stuff like that.
Right.
And one of the historic Christian ways of thinking of things is truth, goodness, and beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we who may trend more in the Reformed slant, we're heavy on truth, and we understand joy and beauty, but we're not very good at talking about how beautiful truth is
yeah.
and how they all
mm-hmm.
correlate.
Yep.
And so what you see often on the Pentecostal side is they go for the beauty
mm-hmm.
and they're not very good on anchoring that to truth.
Right.
Where they coincide. If it's beautiful, then it's true.
Right.
It's not just a G to a C chord with a lot of reverb and really good lights.
don't forget the fog machine.
And the fog machine, because the Holy Spirit can't move unless there's fog.
Or glitter in the AC. But that
shots fired. But what we have to realize is truth is beautiful, and things that are legitimately beautiful are true.
Yeah.
And so what we see here is ultimately kind of empty.
It really is.
There's a YouTube channel called Fighting for the Faith who just released and he used to be in the Latter Rain movement, which kind of morphed into the New Apostolic Reformation. Now he's a Lutheran minister. So
Is he apostolic Lutheran?
No. He is. He's, I don't remember what it is. But, I mean, he wears the collar and the robe and everything.
Oh, wow.
And, but he just put out an episode called Empty Pentecostal Propaganda.
Nice.
About these phrases that they'll throw out, like breakthrough, like God's going to move, and all this kind of stuff. And he compares it to what Scripture says. He's like, this doesn't hold water. Like, you're not really even saying anything.
Right.
And so what we often want is for God to do all these enormous things, but then we forget about the parable of the talents and the tiny little things that they did in that, mm-hmm. the tiny little steps of obedience, right? Like, he said, you know, you could have at least put it in the bank to the guy that that didn't do anything with it. But even the decisions to make certain investments were small steps of obedience. But we just want God to show up and wreck everything and make everything perfect instead of us being like, all right, when I brush my teeth, I'm going to do that to the glory of God. Like John Piper, I think, talks about drinking orange juice to the glory of God. So whether it's drinking orange juice or brushing your teeth, taking a shower, please take a shower to the glory of God.
Amen.
Everyone will thank you.
Talk about a glory cloud.
Oh yeah, right. or with my farts going on right now.
We have Cody in a...
It's something I ate, I guess. It's brutal.
We've got him in a...
Thank
in a
God that
tube.
Podcasts do not include smell right now.
Oh, that's
not
what we
yet.
Should invent, a scratch and sniff podcast.
Not with this one. This would be a terrible... Maybe like if you did it in a new car.
Oh, that,
you'd have a new car smell and a scratch and
that'd
sniff.
That'd be good.
But anyway, all that to say, like even you think about the life of Jesus, yes, you had the big thing with... You know, the crucifixion, you had a big episode with him clearing out the temple, mm-hmm. apparently twice. That, like, those are big things, but it's small things that lead up to those. And it's pretty much never God just coming down and magicking things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's always obedience that leads up to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... Trevor, I don't know if this answered your question yet, because yours is more a philosophical, or not a philosophical, a theological question that talks about God's providence in, right. So when the songs are talking about God making a move, does he really need to move because he's already set things in motion, right? So.
I think you guys have touched on it as far as, like, people, they hear these songs, they sing these songs, and they're just waiting for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Without them having to do anything. And I don't think that is correct. Like, I believe God wants us to take the first step so that he can come meet us.
Well, I think he wants us to take steps, for sure. But he's empowering those steps.
Right.
Right? It's in his providence, and in his will, and in his sovereignty that we do move and participate with him in glorifying himself.
Right.
But not glorifying us, which I think is what this move tends to feel like, that is what's really being asked for,
mm-hmm.
and really demanded, because it's, you know, if I just have enough faith, if I just say the right things, if I just, you know, gin up enough emotion, God is going to act on my behalf as I want him to.
Right. All I have to do is believe, and he's going to
everything. And that gets into, like, the first part of your question, does God really need to? Well, no, he doesn't need to do anything.
Right.
But these people, and this started with the likes of John Wesley. And John Wesley was Orthodox, but his ideas have been really skewed. And I would disagree with Wesley on this point, especially, of God can't do anything unless there's someone willing, like, in agreement on earth.
Mm.
And we see that in the Word of Faith movement,
mm-hmm.
obviously. John Wesley had some dumb ideas, but he was Orthodox, but it's the Word of Faith movement that really gets unorthodox, where God has to find a willing participant on earth in order to actually be able to do anything. But no, the proper doctrine of God is He doesn't need you.
Is it?
At all, period. What
is it? Which psalm is it that says the Lord does whatever he pleases?
It's at least two of them.
Yeah.
But you've got even, what is man that you're mindful of him?
Yeah.
That too. But part of the gospel is that he did love you enough to invite you to participate.
Right. And he does say, you don't have because you don't ask.
Right.
So he is inviting us to participate in prayer that does have effect, but God is communicating to us in some way what we should be praying for that is his will that he wants to do.
Yep,
and that's
right.
That's how we participate him in that, with him in that. So I kind of tacked on a little line here. How should we go about choosing and writing worship music for the church to sing? Mr. Doxology Podcast guy.
Well, I think it's shameless plug time. So we've been trying to get some of our own stuff out mm-hmm. through Westminster with our worship minister at Resurrection Church, Stephen Turner.
Which I tried to get on today, but he just couldn't work it out.
What a loser. Gosh.
He's only got a small child and expecting another one.
Right. So
he's
a little busy. You can't win them all.
No.
So our pillars that we used to evaluate how we're going to go about putting out music. Mm-hmm. And I think Stephen does this as well when he chooses music for Rez to sing, mm-hmm. maybe not explicitly. And I came up with these like 3 years ago anyway, so whatever. They have to be theologically sound or rich. With Westminster, it's theologically rich, so not just not wrong. there's a couple of theological systems of thought where, well, no, it might not be taught in Scripture, but it doesn't contradict what Scripture says.
Mm.
Come on, man. How dumb is that?
Yeah.
Tell me something, right? Can we sing something of substance? It doesn't have to be the most complicated thing. It doesn't have to be like exegeting Greek.
Yeah.
Parsing out Greek verbs.
Yeah.
But say something of substance. The second is for it to be musically interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So not super boring, you know, maybe not just one chord the entire time.
Yeah.
Right. So that's like extremely baseline, very stripped down. But, you know, do something well.
Yeah.
And then the third is congregationally singable.
Yeah.
So I think of, and I don't hold this against like Chris Tomlin, but that guy is in the rafters in every song.
That's true.
If you do
Shane and Shane too,
definitely. So if you're gonna do one of those guys' songs, it's probably a good idea to lower the key.
Yeah.
So the 45-year-old auto mechanic who's never done anything musical in his life other than turn on the radio can maybe think about keeping up with you.
Yeah. That's so true.
Because it's not about the performance. And can I get it on a soapbox real quick?
Yes. Just real quick.
Yeah. So what we're doing in the modern worship movement is we're effectively saying the worship is going on up here and you can kind of watch it.
Yeah.
Maybe have a nice feel-good experience.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things that the Reformation was fought over.
Yeah.
Is in Roman Catholicism, the actual worship takes place at the altar and everybody else just watches.
Yeah.
And so what we've done in this movement is actually revert 500 years to before the Council of Trent.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And I think Rez in particular has really come a long way.
Oh, absolutely.
Being able to sing congregationally. And since Stephen has come, plug to Stephen, he's done an excellent job in making sure that happens.
Yeah.
By making sure that we're leading in worship, not just worshiping.
Right. We're not up there putting on a performance to be beheld.
Right.
Like if somebody compliments me on how well I play guitar, which does happen every now and then.
Just on occasion.
And particularly like if I have a friend who knows guitar and he says, hey, that tone was legit. Like I'm genuinely appreciative.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Because I put in work on that.
Yep.
But if it stops there,
yeah,
then we have a problem.
Yeah.
Then, you know, if all he got out of our worship service was, dang, that sounded good.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Why even show? Like, why do I have to get up early on a Sunday morning? We could have done that on a Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah. So true.
So
true.
There's my soapbox.
Yeah. I'm in such agreement that that our, especially modern day worship, is just, quote unquote, worship songs. It's turned into performance art. It's turned into light shows, hazers and phasers, as you'd like to say.
And there's a time and place for all of those, too.
Absolutely. But a congregational worship service isn't it.
Correct.
I don't believe. So, anyway. So, anything else, Trevor, that we didn't talk about that we needed to talk about?
No. That was it. And so, like, going back to what Cody said, Stan, you and I went to a church where it seemed like the focus was on the band.
Yep.
And not so much on what we were singing about, until where I moved to a different church and the focus isn't on, we don't have a band up there, lights and everything like that. We have orchestra and chorus, but there's no like extra focus put on them. So it's more about the songs and what we're singing about.
Yeah. Or who we're singing about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it seems like old timey, like back in the day, but I mean, we're at church. We're not at a concert.
Yeah.
We didn't pay money to get in to go see these people. So
yeah.
One of the things that really, it's not so much that it shifted how I think, it just gave me words to what I had been thinking for a while and didn't know the verbiage, is I heard Doug Wilson say once, you know, our usual mentality when we leave a church service is, oh, I liked that song, I didn't like that song, I really liked this point that the preacher made, or man, he laid an egg, or I wish that kid would have shut up, or what have you. As opposed to thinking, I really hope God was pleased with that.
Yeah.
And if you take that mentality of effectively going into a new covenant with God and with each other, that will shift your mindset and how you approach worship music and worship in general.
Yeah, very true. Cool. All right, we better wrap it there. Thanks, Cody, for coming in again.
Thanks for having me. It was such a trek to get here.
I know. It's, what is it, a mile and a half?
Something like that, if that.
Yeah.
I'm going to look
Did
it up
you
right
walk?
Now.
Did you walk?
No.
He skipped.
I'm not a savage.
He skipped. Did you skip here? thanks, everyone, for listening today. Remember to get your questions and comments in at askitall7days.com.
It's 1.4 miles, just for the record.
1.4. 864-660-9473 for voicemail or text. Comments, questions, conundrums, we will take them all. Let us know about the podcast. Leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps. And, again, support us, all7days.com/shopanchor.fm/all7days. This is the All 7 Days podcast, where the goal is to make you think so highly of God that you forget about yourself. Now, go give someone what you value most today.